Recording.
I don't see the thing, so I'm just trusting you.
Okay. Trust fall.
Oh, you didn't catch me.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 20, number 5. Can you believe it?
Happy birthday to us.
Actually,
happy birthday.
Don't you even start this by being a little bit creepy. This is episode 25. And if you're keeping track, if you're keeping score, you'll know that this is our 1 year anniversary.
Pod-iversary.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Very, very fun and exciting.
Yeah. I finally lost the baby weight.
Finally. Jeez.
After giving birth to this thing.
And, you know, and this is episode 25 where we are going to talk about the theme of breaking up with a therapist. I'm actually really excited to talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is like a really fun episode. Before we go in, let's talk about this pod. You're so excited. Well, first off, number one, this is a podcast that you're listening to and it's called This Isn't Therapy. And This Isn't Therapy is a podcast hosted by myself, Simon Palak, and across from me in person is Jacob Ernst.
Yeah, we're here. We're
Jake Ernst. And we host this podcast because we just want to have some just casual conversations about mental health and things that come up in therapy, hence the title. This Isn't Therapy.
You know what I think we need for this next year of the podcast? An intern? Yeah, that.
That.
But also, I'm putting this out into the ether, the interwebs, is that I feel like we need a jingle. We need a theme song.
Oh, like an original.
Kind of.
Like, not like the copyright free.
Yeah. If you are like good at music stuff and want to like write us a jingle, like get in touch. Have fun.
That would actually be so fun. Like
I
the
know,
next.
Right?
What would it sound like?
You know what? Actually, that would go really great with what? Is the announcement that we're going to make at the end of our podcast.
Oh, yes.
So stay tuned for the end of the episode. We have a really exciting and fun announcement that you can stay tuned for. But yeah, on this podcast, we like to have fun, of course, but we don't like to make fun. So, you know, if you ever do catch Simon making fun of someone, then he did say that he was going to pay, give a payout.
Yeah, I was $100.
$100,000. Doll hairs.
Doubloons.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, this episode, which Jake talked about right at the beginning, this episode, episode 25, is all about breaking up with your therapist. And so what we did, we set out a prompt to share a story about a time you broke up with your therapist. How did you do it? Why did you do it? And how did you feel about it? So we got a literal avalanche
yeah,
of submissions and stories. And first off, my inclination is like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But also, there were some really positive reasons as to why people broke up with their therapist too, which we'll explore in this episode. So
I am super excited to get into it. And you know, like, as a therapist who has been broken up with, who has been ghosted,
okay,
who has been disappeared from.
Yes.
It's fascinating because I have sat on both sides. Mm-hmm. Like I've broken up with a therapist, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, I've also been broken up with. So I'm excited to like get into the reasons and to get into all of the complexities because I can see it from both sides and it's hard.
Yeah.
It is hard to see it from both sides. So,
ooh, but let's get into it.
Yeah. And I will also just say I'm really enjoying recording in person. It just feels so much better.
Yeah.
I love it.
I agree. And we have a dog beside me.
Yay.
Valley's here too. You want anything to say? You want to say something? You want to throw it to the first segment? She's a shy girl.
She's just waiting. Yeah. Oh, she's so cute. She's finding her voice. Find your power, Valley.
Okay. So story one, I am calling Ghost at Fifi Dobson.
I love.
Hi. We started scheduling sessions less frequently. And once the pandemic hit, they're talking about the therapist. I just stopped scheduling sessions with her. For months, I knew it was time. I no longer resonated with her therapeutic approach.
Ooh.
I started feeling more like hanging with a friend and catching her up on my life and less like someone who was compassionately challenging me asking questions, offering homework / suggestions for between sessions, or calling out patterns. We used to do that, but it started to fall away, and that's when seeing her stopped feeling helpful.
Whoa.
Does that happen, like, as a therapist? Like, I guess as you get closer, you get to know your client more and more, and over time, does that happen with a therapist where you almost become complacent too?
You know, it's an interesting question. Like, there's so many layers here as I am just, like, looking at this story because, yeah, I mean, like, complacent maybe, but I think really part of it also too is that the more you get to know somebody, the more you start to unpack, like, the same sort of sets of problems,
right?
Right? That especially when they have the same kind of root and the same kind of core at them.
Right.
So yeah, when therapists like don't check themselves, like of course they can come across as like blasé or like disinterested or like I'm not really bringing my full self to it. And then also we can remember that therapists have their own lives too that you know, they're obviously bringing to each session. So, you know, I think part of the challenge here is that, and what the story really highlights for me especially is that the relationship changes over time. Like it's your relationship with the work and your own like therapy journey changes.
Right.
And it evolves like as your relationship with your therapist changes.
Right.
And I don't know. I guess I see it from both sides. Like I've sat on the side of the therapist who's just kind of like, hey, like where'd my client go? I don't know what I did wrong.
Hmm.
And then there's also on the side of the client who's perhaps experiencing that is like, I'm not being challenged. I'm not like, it wasn't what it once was. Like, I don't feel like it's giving me enough right now.
Yeah.
And all I want to say is like, you know, that is okay. And that's allowed. That is sometimes a part of the process.
Oh, so you can ghost your therapist. That's fine.
I'm not saying, yeah, I mean, I won't go that far to say that, oh, Jake is okay being ghosted because
yeah.
No one likes to not be communicated with, but I think it is a normal thing that happens. I think
right.
I think it's pretty common, I would say. What I'll also add on to that though is that it probably happens a lot more when the therapy process is unstructured.
Mm.
There are some therapists who are kind of like, yeah, I'm going to see you for 6 sessions because that's what your insurance coverage can provide.
Right.
Or they'll sort of say, yeah, like we're going to see each other for 10 weeks and that's going to be our relationship and then it's going to be over.
Right.
So if there's no like planning and like structure that's kind of keeping you on that journey,
yeah.
Then yeah, of course it can start to feel like the same conversation over again or
right.
Like you're not being challenged or that like you're just updating your therapist on your life. And for
yeah.
Some people, it serves a relational purpose. And so for some people, like those like updates are part of the work. And for some people, they're just kind of like, well, I feel like I'm just talking at a wall and not really getting anywhere.
Right.
And so being able to be in that place where you ask your therapist, like, hey, what kind of therapy are we doing is important. Or being able to sort of say, when will I know that this therapy is working and that we're making good progress?
Right.
Those are all really fair questions to ask.
Interesting. And I guess we don't know if this person did this with their therapy. But I guess if this person started to feel complacent with their therapist, right, could they not, is it not within your power as the client to turn to your therapist and be like, hey, I feel like you're not challenging me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, can you do that to
I
your
mean,
therapist? Like, can you say that?
I mean, yeah, why not?
I don't know. Like, I don't go to my doctor and I'm like, or maybe you should. Wow.
I mean,
I guess that's a self-advocacy point, right? Like, we have this complex where we think experts are experts and we have to listen. Wow, that's happening live.
It's a good question, right? Around like, what are the rules? Who makes the rules? And what sort of power dynamics are at play in that relationship?
Right.
I don't want to take any steam out of the argument that from the person that says that's really hard to do. That's really hard to like say to your therapist, I'm not being challenged enough and I need to be.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, I actually need this from you.
Yeah.
Or hey, I'm not getting this. It's so much easier to not have that conversation, which I think is probably the reason why there's ghosting that's happening in the first place.
Right.
Having those conversations, which would be perhaps like the next step or a way that you could repair some of that rupture.
Yeah.
If it is perceived as a rupture even. But that is how you can unlock like kind of the next level or the next chapter of therapy. some people just decide to quit, and some people just decide it's not worth it.
Interesting. And could you also say, like, again, other side of this, so that was maybe the client side, but maybe from the therapy side, part of therapy is that it's meant to be therapeutic, right?
Yes.
So
right.
Could we have no context for this? This is completely a hypothesis, but based off of the story, is it possible in the realm of this story that this therapist was possibly providing the relational thing to make it feel as though you were talking to a friend, because maybe that's what that client needed?
I mean, of
course. Is that a technique?
Yes, it can totally be a possibility, right? It could also be like an indicator of like the therapist trying to meet the client where they're at.
Mm.
Meaning that like maybe they weren't actually doing the challenging because they noticed that actually when I challenge, that's when we stall progress. It doesn't feel as fast.
Right.
Or doesn't feel as like meaningful.
Right.
And you know, we're doing a lot of hypothesizing here, and I don't think that in this specific example it is necessarily like beneficial to kind of go through all the different scenarios, but I think it is normal for therapy breakups to occur, first of all, and I think it's important that people, like, as a client, like, do feel empowered to be able to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you have a conversation or you don't, that's up to the client. And the reality is that sometimes our clients don't come back. And that is, unfortunately, a part of, you know, the client relationship. And sometimes we don't have any reason why. And sometimes there's no formal ending, or what we in therapy call termination.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's actually no ending to that therapeutic relationship. We know that the relationship, the therapeutic alliance, is the number one predictor of success in therapy. The number one. More than any modality, any, you know, special strategy or tips and tricks, the relationship is the most important. And sometimes it's just a bad match.
Yeah.
It's not the right match. It's not the right fit. And sometimes there's actually like ways that the therapist can get more control over that like relationship progress. And then there's sometimes that the client also just isn't showing up to that relationship or ready for the work to unfold. So, you know, it's so multi-layered.
Yeah.
And so by no means do I want to frame for those who are listening that this conversation is about like people are to blame. I think that sometimes in these relational dynamics, sometimes there is someone to blame, and then sometimes it's just like, hey, like it wasn't the fit, it wasn't the match. So it's difficult, but it sounds like this person was not getting what they needed out of that therapeutic relationship.
No. And it also sounds like what I'm also taking away from this conversation is, if the therapy relationship is starting to change or feel complacent, you can tell your therapist this, that you want to be challenged, that you want more questions,
you want more homework. Yep. Absolutely.
And I would assume that a good therapist would be like, great, let me give you that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me change too as well.
And that can also be part of like the setup in therapy too. As a part of all my first sessions, I usually do, in addition to getting to know the person, obviously, and starting to build that relationship, I want to get to know, you know, like, do you want me to challenge you? Do you want, how do you want me to challenge you? Do you want me to like say things in really plain terms, or would you prefer for me to hold you like more compassionately, like being more gentle? So sometimes I'll ask that explicitly if I feel like the conversation is at that level, or sometimes you just know. Sometimes you just know like this person may just require more gentleness, right?
And I imagine it often happens up in your sessions too, because I've been on the recipient end of that in my own therapy journey, which is the therapist will be like, do you want me to ask you more about this?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe you touch on something very personal or touchy or vulnerable.
Totally.
And the therapist says, without stepping out of that, being like, do you want to go further or do you want to stop?
Yep.
And then that's a way of sort of like
checking in.
Feel like I can hold going further, or maybe I'm like, no, that was enough. And then the therapist can kind of like pivot to be like, right.
And, you know, it's interesting too, just around, of course, each therapist has their own like preference for like their own style of therapy, I guess, like their own like way that they bring themselves to that conversation. But, you know, there are a lot of misconceptions too about like what therapy is supposed to be. Some people do think that like therapy is just supposed to be, and especially this is really amplified, I think, by meme culture and like the internet stuff. But people think that like therapy is just like where you come to get like dragged through the mud and like the therapist like calls you on all of your shit, and it's supposed to be like
an uncomfortable
experience. That it's supposed to be like combative, or like that there's like an element of like, if I'm not being like critically examined to my core, then like we're not doing good work.
Yeah.
And you know, like I think that that can also be amplified by having the experience of having what I call like a therapeutic aha, like kind of an aha moment that like in the relationship or as like therapy plays out, when you realize something about yourself, you're like, whoa, okay, that unlocked a new layer, or like I found a new pattern there.
Yeah.
And then you think that therapy is supposed to be that every single time. So at the end of the session, you're like, oh, I didn't learn anything about myself, or, oh, I didn't unlock that next layer. So then the session was garbage, or it didn't feel like it was enough.
Right.
And so again, like therapy isn't always supposed to be about like someone reading you for filth.
Right.
It's not always supposed to be like your therapist, like reading you your rights and like saying like, well, this is why this is the pattern here. Right, and like, this is connected to this childhood thing. And it isn't supposed to be that. Or at least none of the modalities I've been trained in are that. So,
and even hearing, but I think that that's kind of groundbreaking for anyone who isn't in therapy or is new to therapy to hear that. Cause I know that personally, I thought that's what it was.
Right.
I was like, oh, I have to break through every single session. And you forget that it's slow. But also one thing that was kind of revelatory was like, every single session, we don't have to be looking at the past.
Right.
We don't always have to find the root of something.
Psychodynamic is what it's called. Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always have to ask the why.
Yes.
We can ask how.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And like that's...
And what that, now?
And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think therapy, the therapy trope is like, well, tell me about your mother and your father.
Lay down
like,
on the tell couch me about, and... Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, no, sometimes sessions is just like, well, what are you feeling right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, tell me where it's showing up in your body. Like, stuff. Like,
tell me an example of like what happened this week and how did you work through it? Of course.
Like practicing like a different frame of thinking too. So this is all to say that it's interesting to hear from your takes, like Jake's takes from like the therapist POV as to why, like why, because I hear you say like it's okay that this no longer works and we move on, but we also hear how sometimes people kind of come in to maybe new to therapy expecting things and maybe not getting it, and how it's always in your power to say, let's maybe not this therapist but a different one, but also to challenge your therapist too as well, to say like, can you give me this, or I'm feeling as though this, it would be super helpful if you do this every now and then. And it sounds like a good therapist would be receptive of that.
Right. You know, one of my rules is always, and I usually say this in the first session, something to the effect of, you know yourself best.
Right.
So you are in the driver's seat here, and I'm going to sometimes be in the passenger seat. Maybe sometimes I'll be the backseat driver.
Right.
Maybe sometimes I'll take over the car if like you need some extra support steering.
Right.
But this is your space. This is your place to sometimes unpack, to sometimes build strategies, to sometimes do X, Y, Z. And so what comes along with that is my rule around like, clients always know what they need. Maybe not like always know how to say it with words, but if you're feeling that like, hey, this isn't the right fit, like trust that.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel like you're not making good progress, like honor that.
Yeah.
If you feel like, you know, it used to be something and now it's not, like, I think we need to listen to all of that information, and it's okay if it's not what it was at one point, and it's okay if it's not what you need right now.
Yeah.
And maybe it was at one point, or maybe, you know, you had like these big revelations because you're at a different period in your life. It's okay to also move on and take a break, you know?
Yeah.
I often, do also say to people too, therapy is not a hobby. Therapy is not supposed to be hobby work. Mm. It's not supposed to be a constant self-improvement measure that you take in order to like really hack into your brain and like unleash this like X level performance within you. Sometimes therapy is also like taking a break from therapy. That can be therapeutic too.
Oof.
And so sometimes people make their identity and they build their identity around mental health, and it becomes this like big practice, and like, I go to therapy and I rely on therapy actually in order to to be a human, to be a person. And I'm not making a judgment call about anyone who makes that choice, but yeah. I think there is something to be said for what is therapeutic and what is the therapeutic element at play here. And it's not always going to be homework. It's not always going to be being challenged by an objective person.
Right.
And sometimes it will. And so I think all of it has to be true. Mm-hmm. It's just about finding like what is the best fit for you.
Right. And I guess from the client side anyways, it's communicate, right? Because mm-hmm. if we're using the metaphor of the therapist is never driving unless to provide extra support and the therapist is in the backseat, front seat, wherever, mm-hmm. on the roof. They're sitting on the roof.
In the trunk. Oh, let me out.
No, you stay there. I guess you're always driving, right? So that means part of it too is your therapist is like not the all-knowing being that you think they are, right? Which is a trope we've talked about before. But I think now would be a good time if we move on to the next story, because we're just going to continue to... This one is interesting.
Ooh, this one's going to be controversial.
I'm really excited for the next one.
Okay, yeah. So let's go on.
This is story number two that I'm calling Post-Therapy Breakdown. During the first session, I briefly shared major life events, how they were impacting me and what I wanted to work on. And the initial response was, so it sounds like you're not very self-aware. Ooh, yikes.
Oh, that's so shitty.
Yeah. This person goes on to say, I'll never forget how completely unseen I felt. I emailed her immediately after the session, after the post-therapy breakdown in my car, and told her that it wasn't the right fit.
Mm.
I was so discouraged that I put off therapy for another year, despite having active symptoms. Oh, I'm so sorry. Even our brains and hearts aren't immune to the deep invalidation from a space that you're hopeful is safe. But then I found the greatest therapist, all caps, with a life-changing connection, incredible healing transformation. This is a great story. Happy ending. So to everyone out there, don't give up. It can sometimes be discouraging as heck, but you're worth it. Good therapists do exist. Please don't wait as long as I did.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, that was the roller coaster. That was the emotional roller coaster.
There were twists and turns and then ended nicely.
And so in this segment, this is kind of where we're really highlighting that like sometimes therapists do some really harmful shit.
Yeah,
like,
and that's the controversial thing.
Right.
I'm jumping off that because we go... this is the thing where, because we're also, you and I are both people who are like, go to therapy if therapy works for you, right?
Yeah.
We're not anti-therapy. We're like, go for good therapy, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And therapy also can mean, as we talked about, like with a professional, but it can also mean, you know, an art practice and all of those things. Like find these things, right?
Yeah.
But I think the controversial thing is like, sometimes we think that people in authority positions or the experts, doctors, police... therapist,
yeah,
get it wrong.
Yep.
And I think that just the controversial thing about that is like that goes against everything we're ever taught.
Yeah.
So that's my explanation as to why I thought it was controversial.
Anything we're ever taught, like especially in terms of like the rules that, like, you know, and this is the other thing too about therapy, and usually in my conversation at the beginning in the first session about confidentiality, I'll sort of say, you know, the classic line of, you know, everything that we talk about inside of this room is going to stay in this room.
Right.
And the only time that I will have to bring it outside of the room is X, Y, Z.
Right.
And in that conversation, I also say like, there's also a lot of other things that will like sort of seep into this room. Like, you know, who I am outside of the room, who you are outside of the room.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to bring all parts of yourselves. Like all of that is welcome inside of this room, even though it may not feel like, you know, what life looks like outside of like in your real life, because it is a therapeutic relationship, which is very different than a social relationship.
Right.
And so a lot of ways it feels different than other relationships that we have in our lives. And so to be harmed in that relationship for some people, like it just feels that much greater, right? It feels that much more hurtful because we had the expectation that it wasn't supposed to be this way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if any of my former clients are listening, for example, and I have hurt you unknowingly, then all I can know or all I can say is I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But sometimes as therapists, we don't get to know the depths or the levels of harm that we've created, if that makes sense, if that's been a part of someone's experience.
Yeah. And you can see that in this very specific story, just to bring it back to the story for a second.
Course.
It's like, you can see how in first session, just the very like pathologizing way that this therapist sort of didn't see this person as a person. They saw them as like a diagnostic therapeutic technique. They were like, ah, yes, you're not being self-aware. You can see how very like dehumanizing that is.
Yeah.
And so I think that like specifically in experience like that, like therapists, like how do you stop? Because therapists are humans, right? So when you're in an expert position, right, and you're being sought after for your expertise, how do you stop yourself from providing like, oh, I learned this. Oh, I know what this is, right? Like, how do you not do that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But isn't that why people have come to you anyways? Like, I wonder if this, I don't think this therapist was trying to be unhelpful, but it definitely, I don't disagree with this person with like this therapy exchange was very unhelpful.
Our profession is different than all other helping professions in that a lot of other professions, I was going to say have the luxury, but just like have like by circumstance, like they don't, emotions don't have to participate in other like professional relationships all the time.
Right.
To the extent that they do in therapy, like this work is emotional work. It is like, it is hard work.
Right.
That clients do in the therapy room, and being that close in proximity, like to your feelings, like, of course you're going to be really in tune and sometimes really hyper attuned to the words that people say,
yeah,
to how they meant them and what they meant and what they said. And you know, it isn't to say that it shouldn't be that way, right? Because that's the nature of the work, right? And sometimes I guess the question becomes like, to what extent is it a normal reaction to what was said to you?
Yeah.
And to what extent is it also like kind of a trigger or something that was brought up?
Yeah.
Based on the things that you're working on, right?
Yeah.
So that's really hard to get right. And it's really hard to, as a client, like also discern like a way forward. Sometimes people have no choice but to never go back and ghost their therapist,
yeah,
right? Like what kind of script would they need in order to like have that conversation, right? Like think about the skills and like emotional bandwidth you'd have to have in order to be like, actually, you know what? You really harmed me, but I want to go back and I want to work on it with you.
Yeah. And that's right? that's not on the client to do that too, right?
No.
Yeah.
That is probably pretty rare.
Yeah.
And probably is a sign of a really probably longer term relationship if that conversation is there. Right.
Yeah.
And then there's the other layer of sometimes it does just come down to, is this person a good fit for me or not?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just quite simply not.
Yeah.
And sometimes like lived experiences also clash in the therapy room too. I can't tell you the amount of people that submitted a prompt to this exact question that said, my therapist said blank and I was offended by it, or it really hurt me.
Yeah.
It scarred me forever.
Okay. Why though? Why do therapists like it? Okay, I'm not going to ask you why, because you can't account for it, all the therapists, but even in this story, like to me it seems very textbook, right? In a good way, where it's like client has shared major life events about something.
Yeah.
We don't know what those major life events are, but I imagine if this is a first session, maybe the first session ever for therapy, would you not take an approach of like, let me just listen for the first session at least before like diagnosing something? Like that just seems like such an obvious thing to do in your first session.
Yeah.
Why would therapists jump very quickly to like, ah, yes, let me explain what it is that you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just seems so obviously incorrect to me.
Well, it's interesting. And like, while I don't seek to, you know, speak for all therapists here, I mean, like there is an element kind of like, there was this quote that's while reading these stories I came upon. Someone had submitted like that the biggest problem that they had was that their therapist was actually more interested in telling them who they were rather than helping them define who they were or figure out who they were.
Right.
And I just think that's such a brilliant way of saying a problem that so often exists is that so many therapists tell people who they are and either put people in a box or make a connection to a childhood thing. And then like all of a sudden it becomes real because the therapist said it and identified this pattern. And, you know, it that can be really tricky for people. That can be hard. And I think that some media depictions of therapy muddy that. I think that internet culture muddies that. I think social media influencer like wellness territory really muddies that. And I think that it's really difficult to get it right, which is back to the original idea that we were talking about, which is that it really comes down to a relationship. Like, what relationship do you have with this person that can support or sustain like that type of rupture?
Right.
That like, if I do say something that maybe kind of like pricked the wrong area or like kind of got you dysregulated in a way that it feels like you can't recover from.
Right.
Like how do we work through that? Like what happens? I personally, as a practitioner, I have that conversation ahead of time that will say sometimes like there will be things that will surface that will feel really big. Like how do we want to work through those moments? There's also conversations about like crying in therapy or like being offered a tissue in therapy. Like those types of things, sometimes if we do it the wrong way, it can be taken as disingenuous or hurtful or harmful. So it is a relational dance for sure.
Right. And I can see how there is such like a subtle like framing of what the therapist, because we talked in segment one about the therapist being the passenger seat.
Yeah.
Not even like directing the car, just kind of there, just being like,
right.
Every now and then being like, do you want to turn right? No, that's fine. We can keep going straight. But I think maybe sometimes like therapists are humans, right? I can imagine the allure of wanting to help your clients can be tempting, and you might throw a, this is, you should go right. You should turn right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a client who's very sensitive and vulnerable, like a therapy isn't like, it is very special because of the environment that it provides. Mm-hmm. And like you know, that type of relationship doesn't exist outside of a therapy room.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I think it also has like, it's a super sensitive relationship too, right? Because it's so damn vulnerable.
And because the possibilities for transformation are so great.
Right.
Like I look at it the other way too.
Oh, okay.
That like, I think both are true in that like there's so much possibility in that relationship and the stakes feel quite high.
Right.
There's a big misconception actually that therapy is really about advice giving. So I think where a lot of therapists get it wrong or tend to stumble is when too many assumptions are made about the person sitting in front of them.
Yeah.
And then you get into advice territory, which is not therapy, which is like, hey, you should do this. You need to break up with that person.
Right.
Or like you need to do this or like, this is what I would do. Right.
You
like
know what
therapy isn't advice giving.
No.
We're not in the business of giving advice.
You know where I feel it like in my bones, because where I liken this to is guiding an interview when you're doing like a documentary interview.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is you're essentially allowing the subject to lead the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you can kind of see, because it's literally a study in how you as the person asking the questions or the director asking your subject questions can have an effect on what connections are made ipso facto where like the conversation goes.
Of course.
So if you go in with an agenda, which you often do, sometimes when you jump too quickly to the thing that you want to get at or the thing that is so obvious for you that you need that sound bite, the moment you try to lead them too closely to that, they sniff that, they get scared.
Mm-hmm.
Or what they do is they're suddenly aware that they're having a conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
what you lose is like the authenticity of you actually having this, because that's what makes a documentary so interesting too, right? Because you're seeing like actual human beings.
Yes.
Conversing and emoting.
I think
I can imagine that kind of practice.
Yeah.
Kind of almost feels true to me as to like the role of the therapist too as well. And I think of a therapist too quickly is like dangling the connection in front of a client. I think a client will be very quick to be like, I mean, don't tell me what I am or who I am or what I am, right?
It's interesting. Like the word you brought up at the beginning of this segment, like the inhuman, I think that's so true that like when in the therapeutic relationship, like any opportunity when the client sees themselves as inhuman, is a really vulnerable moment.
Right.
Is a moment for disconnection and a moment for rupture to occur.
Right.
You know, so sometimes it will be, my therapist said this, my therapist did this.
Right.
And other times it will be, my therapist didn't say this and I needed them to. Mm. My therapist didn't do this for me and I really needed them to.
Right.
My therapist didn't show up for me because X, Y, Z.
Right.
So they didn't reply to my emails. They didn't, like, you know, follow up on this commitment that they said they were going to do.
Right.
All of this stuff, like, really matters. And it's really hard. It's really hard. I, personally, as a way that I kind of buffer against it is I do check-ins. I just, at the, you know, session two, session three, hey, how did last session sit for you?
Yeah.
What were some standout moments that you kind of walked away with?
Yeah.
And then usually, like, when we're into the relationship, I'll do a check-in that will sort of be like, is there anything that you need differently from me?
Yeah.
Hey, I've noticed that we got into this pattern of, I'll identify this thing, I'll sort of challenge you, and then I can notice that you can handle that. Is that something that you want to continue, or do you feel like you want less of that?
Right.
Communication, communication, communication.
But that sounds like a therapist who is constantly learning and being affected by the weekly or every single session. And I can imagine there's therapists out there that are just like, that's just another client.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I do this technique. This is the technique that I do. This is the system that I practice in.
I think you're right. And I think part of it also could be like, sometimes the therapist is also super burnt out. They're on like the seventh client of the day.
Yeah.
And then you had the unfortunate circumstance of being the seventh. And, you know, there are so many layers. And at the same time, in the same breath, I don't dismiss anyone's experience about like what they experienced, right? That's for them to have be true. And either you talk to your therapist about it or you don't. And some people choose not to.
And either way, it's okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's that on that.
And that's that. So everyone right now, ghost your therapist. Justin will collectively meet us here under the bleachers.
Yeah.
At 11:59 p.m.
P.m.
Eastern Standard Time. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
And we will collectively all together break up with our therapist. Just kidding.
Let's swim on into the next last little segment here.
Yeah,
I think this one's gonna be fun. I like this one.
We like to end our therapy chats with just like a little, we like to resurface every now and then.
Therapy chats. I love therapy that. Chats. Why have we never said that before?
I don't know.
We love therapy chats. Yeah.
Like a therapy chat. And sometimes we go a little deep, sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But we always kind of like to resurface and just have this moment of like levity and just, you know, fun or laughter or whatever it may be. So in this final segment, sort of pulling from the prompt that we sent out, which was, what were the reasons why you perhaps have broken up with your therapist or stopped seeing your therapist? We also got some really funny, like objectively very funny reasons.
Yes.
And all of these folks have been asked if it's okay to share with this. So just to put that caveat out there.
In maybe not like funny, like haha, like sucks to be you.
No,
it's more kind of like funny, like big grin smiles around like, oh wow, okay,
that's
like,
definitely a reason I to can not see, see your therapist
I can
anymore.
See why you didn't go back. And then, you know, we kind of got like things of all shapes and flavors here, but we did just want to kind of just read some final ones here.
Yeah, okay, you do the first one.
Okay. Okay, so this person says, my newborn pooped all over me and I was too embarrassed to go back. That
I mean,
that's like, I would not show my face.
Also, like, what do you do? Like, imagine you're mid conversation about something very personal.
there's a lot here. I personally can see why this person didn't go back. It maybe felt a bit easier to just not have to face that again.
Okay, so this one says, my ex-therapist had an iguana in the room and it was too scary and distracting to look. What?
Yo, that is absurd.
Okay, can we talk about for a second, like, therapy rooms. Like, there's a strategy behind your setup. Like, there's a reason why the couch is that color, and then there's pictures on the wall.
Can we talk about therapy iguanas, though?
But yeah, what is therapy iguanas?
Maybe it was a therapy iguana. No judgment here if it was a therapy iguana, but also I personally would also not go back to that therapist.
Me too.
If it was like a small salamander, like in a tank or like a fish tank, that's different than like, I'm picturing like a grown ass iguana.
Yeah. I'm also, that's odd. Also, how would that never not be distracting? Like, it's who is this therapist thinking like, you know, what would be really relaxing?
An iguana in the room,
just perched on its little like bark, licking its eyeballs.
For this person, it was too scary and too distracting, and I agree.
Me too.
That is too much.
Me too.
And at the very, very last one that we have is a very, very heartfelt one, and I just wanted to read this one because it just makes me feel really good. Mm-hmm. And I know Simon will make you feel good too. So this one says, I broke up with my third therapist after 2 years because I felt ready. Heart emoji. I felt super grounded, mostly healed, and ready to do the rest of the healing myself. The last 6 months of therapy, I handled big life changes and difficult emotions myself and just went in to give her the recap. We stretched the formal ending by those 6 months just for me to feel sure and to really take the time to transition and say goodbye. I still have very fond memories of my time with her, and even after ending therapy, I keep her updated when really big life stuff happens, like me becoming a mama.
Oh.
That's so, so nice. And, it's interesting. Like, while that makes me feel like good, mm-hmm. the therapist in me also, like, does the boundaries kind of red flag around, like, sometimes I do also have clients that end the relationship with me,
right.
and then they want to become friends. And that becomes a really tricky conversation. See. Like that, regardless of whether or not I want to be friends with them,
right?
Regardless of that piece, but I mean, like professionally, sometimes like there has to be time that passes before, you know,
that can happen.
That would ever be an option, right?
Right. Well, like think of a romantic relationship too, right?
Oh, 1,000%.
Before you become friends with them, you definitely need the time apart piece.
Well, and jurisdictionally too, like I think the actual time, like the number.
Oh, there's a rule.
Oh yeah, like the rules are different, I think, everywhere, but I think it's pretty widely understood that you don't become in relationships with your therapist.
Oh no, I wasn't thinking in a relationship with, I meant just, okay, wait, my things got confused. I meant literally separate.
Your wires got crossed.
I just mean like not in relationship with your therapist, but I mean literally when you're in a relationship with someone and then you break up and then you decide to become friends, but like obviously you don't become friends day one post breakup.
You didn't mean like romantic relationship.
No, I did, but not with your therapist.
Oh my God.
Our wires are crossed. And there's no way of recovering.
I think this is a sign that the episode needs to end.
I think so too. This was a really fun episode. And like, thank you for everyone who submitted their stories as always. Like, we really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who keeps like sending us messages privately to our Instagrams. Like, we love hearing what you liked and then maybe what you didn't. But like, that's fine. I just like, I like when people send things being like, I really thought that was funny, or I had to pause because I was laughing too hard on the train.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that. Like, it's, you know, it's just Jake and I in on a couch talking. And so it's nice to hear that it kind of has an effect beyond the four walls of this living room. So
just being continue, little chit-chatty Kathy's over here.
Continue to like, share, subscribe to This Isn't Therapy. Send it to a friend. Send it to an enemy.
And we have a really exciting announcement to make. And that is that we are going digital. We are going virtual. We are going to have a place to live. We have a new home on Instagram. We are going to have a little space and a not therapy account on Instagram.
Yeah. That was the most convoluted way of saying we started an Instagram.
We started an Instagram account.
So there is now an Instagram for This Isn't Therapy. Also, the construction on the street has gotten much louder. So the podcast, what is it?
It's a full-on tractor.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
So
good. If you
good.
Feel so inclined, you can follow us. You can follow us at
not a therapy Not a Therapy Podcast.
Once again, that's at Not a Therapy Podcast. Or if you just search This Isn't Therapy, we will pop up.
You'll find it, Diva.
You'll find it. You'll find the squiggly logo. You'll know it's us. And moving forward, we're going to be kind of doing some correspondence and stuff through there. So feel free to give us a follow. And then also follow this tractor that's outside my house because...
It's happening. There's a lot of construction happening, but
that's okay. It's at the end of the episode. So yeah, give us a follow, give us a like, a subscribe, and we'll see you in the next quarter.
Oh my gosh.
This Isn't Therapy life cycle.
In a new year of a new This Isn't Therapy birthday.
Yeah.
Yay.
Episode 26 coming soon.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are like endlessly, endlessly grateful for you to be here. So follow the pod on Instagram. And us at MSW Jake and directed by Simon. And we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And now the tractor is like...
I was just going to say, now the tractor stopped.